So continuation of text 5. Text 5 reads, O Lotus Eyed One, O Supreme Lord of all lords of universes, please explain to your beloved servant this means of liberation from the bondage of work. So then the heading under this, then Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, another quote from Srila Prabhupada. About touching the deity, one gets a spiritual body. Archana Patati, daily worship of the deity, provides an opportunity to touch the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus it enables one to be fortunate enough to get a spiritual body and go back to Godhead. Not only by touching the body of the Supreme Lord, but simply by hearing about his pastimes, chanting his glories, touching his feet, and offering worship. In other words, by serving the Lord somehow or other, one is purified of material contamination. This is the result of touching the Supreme Lord. Bhagavatam 8:46 purport. Text 6. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Uddhava, there is no end to the innumerable Vedic prescriptions for executing deity worship. So I shall explain this topic to you briefly, one step at a time. Explanation. Srila Rupa Goswami distinguishes between principles and details in executing devotional service. In the above verse, innumerable Vedic prescriptions refers to the various details of the process of deity worship. In the chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna emphasizes the principles of worship. Authorized procedures embodying those principles may vary widely. A good grasp of the principles enables one to apply details appropriately in various situations. We may note here that Srila Jiva Goswami discusses the philosophy of deity worship extensively in his Bhakti Sandharva. So this point is, if one understands the principles, then one can actually understand deity worship. Because the details are innumerable. There's so many details, so many ways you can put something together. This is a very major point, that many times we may get bewildered by the details, but the point is these details are all in pursuance of particular principles. So if we can understand the principles they come from, then we're not bewildered. We understand the connection. Then there's so many ways we can put it together. But we may put it together in our own particular way. You know, according to our acharyas and the direction we have. But the principles remain the same. Otherwise, one may see that there's a difference in how Prabhupada's presenting the worship, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or Bhaktivinoda, or Gopabhatta Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. There's no difference at all. The principles are exactly the same. It's just that how you apply the detail, and in what situations, that may vary. Because they know the time, place, and circumstance, so they apply it this way. One has to understand the principles. If you understand the principles, then you can actually nicely apply Panchayatra in all time, place, and circumstance. Because it always varies. That is the thing. There's always a difference. Those situations, the thing. So it'll always have some different application. But the principle remains the same. Text 7. One should carefully worship me by selecting one of the three methods by which I receive sacrifice, Vedic, Tantric, or mixed. Explanation. Pancharatrika Vidhi is a combination of Vedic and Tantric methods of worship. It employs those aspects of Vedic worship directly, explicitly to Lord Vishnu, those aspects of Tantra that are sattvic. Compared to Tantric worship, Vedic worship generally uses fewer but longer mantras and simpler, more comprehensive procedures. Vedic mantras are taken directly from the four Vedic samhitas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva. While Tantric mantras are taken from the Tantra Agamas, supplements to the Vedas, which various rishis derive from the Brahmana and Aranyaka sections of the Vedas. The Hari Bhakti Vilas, compiled by Srila Gopal Bhakti Goswami and edited by Srila Sanatana Goswami, is the authoritative compendium of Pancharatrika Vidhi for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It contains quotations from over 200 shastras, Vedic Tantric and Pancharatrika. This is a quote from Srila Prabhupada. The Goswamis prefer the purificatory processes under the Pancharatrika formulas to the Vedic rites. The Pancharatrika system acts on the Shudra class of men, supposedly the population of the Kali Yuga, and it is the purificatory process suitable to this age and time. Bhagavatam 1.12.13 Purport. Often the Pancharatrika literature, as well as the Pancharatrika system of worship, are referred to as Vaishnava Tantra. In other words, Tantra means ritual. That's specifically what it means. Like mantra, tantra, puranadri. Mantra is what you chant. Tantra is the ritual. So, tantra basically means the emphasis is more on the ritual, and the mantras are very slight, a very small sort. Bija syllables, bija mantras, everything very, very succinct. While Vedic means that it's done with Vedic mantras. Every ritual is performed with, accompanied with Vedic mantras. And these mantras, so the ritual is actually very simple, though it covers so many aspects. Everything is done. But because it's done with the Vedic mantras, it's very slow and very, very, in this way, high. One needs to have good concentration and good purity. The tantra force is quicker, but the ritual is more complicated. Like installing a pot using Vedic mantras may take three mantras according to Samaveda, or eight mantras according to Yajur. But in the full tantric, it may take 24 bija syllables and rituals to install the pot. The Vedic, you just put everything in there, the pot is ready. Then you just chant the mantras, and the deity is installed. You don't have to separately do it. But if you punch Patrick, then you have to, as you're assembling it, chanting mantras, and then purifying it, and chanting bija syllables, and brewing mudras, and then doing shabaha, and all these different things. So many things are going on. It's very complex. Like that. So the Pancharatra is a combination of both. It uses Vedic mantras, and it uses the tantric aspects of ritual, of the system of ritual and the bija syllables. But it is all taken from the sattvic tantras. In other words, you have tantras, you know, the ritualistic kind of performances of the deity worship for Vishnu. Then you also have for Devi, for Shiva, for Ganesh, for the sun god. Like this, so many different aspects are there. So those that are for Vishnu, for Krishna, those ones will be taken from. Like Gautamiya Tantra. Gautamiya Tantra is simply about Radha and Krishna. Like that. But it's, so those aspects will take. And the things that are specific for Shiva and Durga and Ganesh, like that, those ones we leave. In other words, for demigods. Those tantras that are for demigod worship, we leave those. Those tantras for worship of Krishna, those ones may be accepted. So all that has been done by Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami went through and collected all the different rituals and mantras from all the different scriptures that would be supportive of the proper realization of understanding. Like that. So now here he mentions that they prefer the purificatory process under the Pancharatrik formulas to the Vedic rites. In the Vedic rites, then one would be more absorbed in performing all those rituals after having learned the Vedas. Means one has to be qualified to study the Vedas. In other words, one is a Brahmin. Then one can't study, or at least Dvija. And one would study those mantras and live a particular lifestyle. Then after that, then one would perform one's activities based on Varnashram. And with the idea of pleasing the Lord, And the Vedic chanting of Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri, would be one's, you know, japa, one's sadhana, and performance of Vedic ritual would be one's method of purification. So, in this age, though, everyone is, it's probably mentioned, supposedly the population, it is born Shudra. One may look at this supposedly meaning maybe they're not, maybe they're higher, but also maybe they're not, maybe they're lower. The Shudra is also human. So in this age we might find that some have a mentality even lower than basic human function. So the Tantra process changes the body. The Vedic process, then if you have a highest and pure enough nature, then you can get it to work for you. So it'll actually have effect. And then like this, you become purified. The Pancharatra takes and actually changes the body. Like that. So then one is, with this second birth, is actually changes the body. Because it changes the whole mentality. The other one, you think you're a Brahmin or a Kshatriya, you're a Vaishya. And you remain like that. Now you are educated. But in the Pancharatrik, then when one takes initiation, then the body changes, because the subtle body changes. So the gross body changes. It means it looks the same. It just means that now it is then purified, and it is accepted as a new birth. So therefore, it doesn't matter what your background is, if one has approached bona fide spiritual master coming in parampara, and one follows the tenets of the scriptures properly, then one is qualified to perform deity worship. In the Vedic, only if you were basically Brahman or Dvija, then you could do, others wouldn't be allowed. So therefore the Goswami's first Pancharatri takes less time to become qualified, has a stronger effect in this age, and whatever benefits you can get out of the Vedic rites, those are there as supplements to the Pancharatra. So the Pancharatra is a supplement to the holy name, the Bhagavad Marg, and the Vedic system is a supplement for the Pancharatra. So the samskaras and other basic rituals that are followed from the Vedic standard, then those are also included under the umbrella of the Pancharatra. But we approach them through Pancharatra. That is a thing. Just like we approach Pancharatra with the chanting of the holy name. So the Goswamis don't recommend approaching the Vedic system directly. It has to be approached through the Bhagavat and Pancharatrika Marg. Then, as a supplement to these two, then there's benefit. But on their own, in this age, who's qualified? Who's qualified? Right? It means we're chanting Hare Krishna, right? We're following the Pancharatrika rules and regulations. Therefore, we see we've developed the grammatical nature, the devotional nature, and we're able to function nicely in a devotional environment, right? So then we can follow the rules and regulations. The Vedic system is on your own nature, not chanting Hare Krishna, not following the Vedic. You have the nature to follow this. So that means you have to be basically born qualified, practically. While the Pancharatra makes one qualified. Right? Without qualification, you can approach the holy name. The holy name one makes one qualified to follow the Pancharatrik system. The Pancharatrik system makes it you qualified, you can take advantage of the Vedic. Not that the Vedic is higher. It is just, it has a short, its span of who can follow it is very slim. While the Pancharatrik is quite wide. And the holy name is more wide. It's like a small circle within the bigger circles. problem is this becomes confusing because we figure if it's more difficult or it needs more qualification, therefore it must be higher, right? But the point is, it's higher means where it starts from. Yeah, because in our experience in the material world, we don't have this kind of system. It would be something like this. You have one educational system. You can go in at kindergarten, and when you finish, you have a PhD. That's one system, right? There's another system that when you go into it, then you have to have, an elementary, qualification. Then it will work, and it will bring you up to, you can get an MA. Right? Then there's another system of education that you can only get into it if you have a secondary school qualification, and it will give you a graduate qualification. We understand? So like that. So we don't have experience of this. So this is what we mean it may support. So it's just like you have the one system that's all-encompassing. And as we become qualified by following that system, because it can take you all the way to the top, then you're able to take advantage of the secondary educational process, right? And as you become qualified more by that, you're able to take advantage of the graduate processes. Though the first process can take you all the way through, but we're not qualified to take full advantage of it, right? The second one you can take more advantage of. And this is what helps. But in any case, it's going to get you all the way to the top of the first, the broadest school anyway, the first school. I understand that. And the point is the other two schools don't function unless you're already enrolled in the first school. Right? So it becomes a little bewildering to Westerners. Because one cannot imagine you go into one class situation, one situation, and from there you get everything. But that's how the whole Vedic culture works. It's that it has all these different levels that support each other. So one may take more qualifications to get into it. Okay, let's look at it like this. Here maybe be a practical example. Let's say we want to become a mechanic. We're into mechanics. So then, mechanics then has all aspects, all branches of mechanics is included. Now, let us say we have an interest in specifically, let's say, like, trucks. So that's a branch of mechanics. But you can't know nothing about, have no knowledge of mechanics and just pick up a book on truck mechanics and how it works and make it, and you can just go and get something done. Unless you've gotten the basics from studying the mechanics, then when you come to know the basics, then you can specialize in these fields. But still, these specialities aren't the total. That give you that area only. So they're only part of the total picture. Right? So in the same way, the holy name is the broad picture. Then within that is the speciality of Pancharatra, and within that is the speciality of Vedic. If one can understand more in that kind of direction, then it makes more sense. Yes.
Clear up, like you said, that the contractor would sort of change the body. And then you said that the basic system is a certain smaller sector of people that are qualified to follow it. and you said chanting the holy name basically to everyone.
Yeah. It's anybody can do it. A dog can do, chacha can do, anyone can do it.
So the Vedic,
but the Vedic process, no, everyone can't do it. You have brahminical qualification, dwija qualification, then you can, dwija means Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya. Okay. Those who receive Upanayana. Twice born. It means you go through that system of being twice born, then you can actually properly follow and understand.
That's the basic system.
Yeah. But if you don't have that qualification, you won't understand. So one gains that in the Kali Yuga by chanting Hare Krishna.
Okay. And the other thing was a question about how does it change? You said the contract system. Who's qualified just for that? And you said what to do as well.
Basically, in this age, is those specifically who are able to chant Hare Krishna. But otherwise, if one has the qualification, then one can follow Panchayat.
Okay, so what is that qualification?
Qualification basically means that one has a dwija nature, like I said.
So that's the same as the Vedic?
To some degree, but it's... You have a little bit more regulation of ritual on your life. It regulates a little bit more panchavatra, so it engages more aspects directly and purifies them. While the Vedic is a little bit more gentle, general, and more simple, because the people are already basically more qualified who can follow it. You know? Like the lifestyle is a little bit more simple, but the panchavatra is a little bit more complex. So it's more supportive of regulating the lifestyle.
There's a thing with tantra and mantra.
Tantra, only the sattvika. Only the sattvic tantras. Tamasic ones and rajasic ones, then you need sort of less qualification to take advantage of it. You only get a material result. Therefore, only the sattvika tantras, because they give spiritual results. They're the same, they're supportive. They're practically the same, just that they'll put more emphasis on bija mantras and syllables, and more, they don't use any Vedic mantras. The pancharatras will be full of Vedic mantras, but it will also have this sattvika tantra systems within it also. So Panchatra is specifically meant for Dwapara Yuga as the main process, and the Kali Yuga as a supportive process. As Dwapara Yuga is worship of the deity, so that it's a main process in Dwapara Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, it is a servant to the holy name, to the Bhagavad Mark. But the advantage is anyone can follow it. Even in Dwapara Yuga, you have a system called Vaikhanasa. So Vaikhanasa means that all the worship is done with Vedic mantras. Everything is done with Vedic mantras. So only persons born in certain families can actually perform that. You know? So if you have the qualification, the Lord will arrange that you're born in those families. But the Panchratra means for those who don't have the qualification, then want to develop, at some point want to develop the qualification. In other words, Vaikhanas means you develop the qualification last life, so you were born in that family this life. And then perform the step. Panchratra is for those who are becoming qualified this life. Right? So you can see that the scope for Vaikhanas is very small. But the scope for Pancharatra is much bigger. And the scope for the holy name is all-encompassing. Therefore, the Goswamis prefer the Bhagavat Marg backed up by the Pancharatra.
and then taking a bit of the Vedic.
Yeah, and take whatever few things of the Vedics are just standard common aspects that basically everybody would follow, like, you know, like the 10-minute samskaras. Like that.
And you were saying yesterday that the purpose of that is to see Krishna in the deity.
Yes. Means looking at it from the Panchatattva. Otherwise, you see Krishna in his name. Our goal is to see Krishna in his name. Well, Pancharatra, yeah, gives the same thing, but it gives us that understanding. I mean, we're able to perceive the deity directly. Because even just to sit down and chant Hare Krishna all day and try to see the Lord in the Holy Name may be very difficult for us. Therefore, we can chant Hare Krishna to get the benefit, even though we're not qualified to sit down and chant 3 lakhs of names every day. Just totally give up any attachment to the material world and all that. That's the actual qualification for chanting Hare Krishna. But the Holy Name will work anyway, even if we don't have any of that qualification. Even we say the Holy Name in a joking way or, you know, offhanded or without any attention, still we get benefit as long as we're not offensive. So we get benefit there. So the Holy Name can make you qualified, take you from lowest to the low and bring you up to the Paramahamsa platform. But because we can't work on that Paramahamsa platform from the beginning, we need something to do, some activities. Therefore, the Pancharatrik activities we can more quickly become, by the grace of the Holy Name, we can more quickly become qualified to perform. So therefore, we're engaged in the Pancharatrik activities of how we wake up and dress and take our bath and eat and all these things like that, right? And then with that we can take advantage of, we need more support of, you know, their social aspects, especially specifically Grihastha Ashram. Then the Vedic aspects come in by that qualification that we gain from Pancharatra. That's why it all has to be seen together. Krishna gives it in a straight line like that. Best is just surrender to Krishna. That's Bhagavad part. If you can do that, then you follow the rules of regulations of sadhana bhakti, Pancharatra. Yeah, like that. If you can't do that, then work for Krishna at Varnashram. Okay, so Krishna himself just says that's best. Best is you just follow Bhagavad. Just sit down now, chant Hare Krishna, and immediately surrender. You become an Uttamadhikari right now, today, this moment. If you can't do that, then follow Sadhana Bhakti, which is the Pancharatra. If you can't do that, then work for Krishna. Then you bring in Varnashram. But it still is for Krishna. So it's nitakam karma. And Krishna says, if you can't do that, okay, then perform sakam karma. Nishkam means no desire. Without desire, nishkam. But sakam means with desire. I want. I'm very attached. So I do. And I get these things, and I engage them in Krishna's service. Right? Well, nishkam means very little bit. Something is there of attachment. I'm really seriously working to get rid of it, but you know, it's still there. I have to recognize it's there. So therefore, I do activities for Krishna, which engages those defensiveness. Just slight difference in the consciousness. That's all. Activities between nishkam and sakam look exactly the same. The consciousness is the main difference. Yeah, so you find a devotee may, in the beginning, maybe more sakam, and then with time, nishkam starts coming and be going back and forth, back and forth. As it becomes more and more purified, then the sakam, and the nishkam becomes more prominent. Right? And then from there, then we can get the taste when it's just absorbed in chanting the Holy Name and these other activities. Right? Then one gets attached to Krishna, and then you see that now Bhagavat Marg that then kicks in very prominently. As one crosses the threshold of Brahma-Bhuta, then one is only absorbed in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna as we chant the Holy Name. Yeah, it may. If they choose to act on the Arjuna platform. And if not, then we may see very minimal duties being performed.
We're actually automatically in the Varnashram category.
Already with Grihastha means, in other words, once you introduce that kind of a mood, then you're already gotten the Sakam. I mean the Nishkam, excuse me.
Well, it could be a mixture of both. Yeah.
It could be, but I'm saying is the first platform we try to start from. That's what Krishna recommends for Arjuna. He's a married man.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Kshatriya. But he's recommending Nishkam karma. Do your activities for Krishna. So that's work for Krishna. Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight for him on the battlefield. So that's Nishkam. Do Krishna's work for Krishna. Sakam means I do my own work, I get the result. But Nishkam means before I even start, the result's already Krishna, because it's Krishna's work. Right? Just like someone works in a business. He's working for the employer. Whatever profits or losses come are automatically the employer's. It's not that he works, he gets the result, and then he decides because it's pipes and nice to do, then he gives the result to the owner of the company, right? You understand? Before he starts the work, he knows it already belongs to the owner. Yeah. The man is selling saris. When they pay for the sari, the money is automatically the owner's. He's not thinking, well, I sell the sari, it's my money. But because I'm a nice guy, I'm giving it to the owner. Recognizing it belongs to the owner. No, it's just understood. You're working for. So the same way, Nishkam Karma means you're doing Krishna's work. Krishna wants done. He wants preaching done. So you do it to please Krishna because it should be done. It's Nishkam.
And then, like, when someone's going to Vani, they're trying to concentrate on sadhana.
The sadhana becomes more prominent, but also Nishkama is also there, you know, because it's still with me. It's a whole profession. Basically, below the platform of bhava, then you'll generally find that the support of the Varnashram system is very helpful, even if it's just within the realm of the Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture and Brahminical activities. And, if that doesn't work, then you expand to the full Varnashram. And if still there's too much hankering and lamenting, then you manifest that more, because that becomes more your identity. See, in Nishkam Karma, Arjuna is doing the work of a Kshatriya, but he's not identifying as a Kshatriya. He identifies as a devotee, who has ability to perform Kshatriya service. Kshatriya service is needed. He's authorized to do it, he's doing it. Right? Sakam then generally means you feel this is your work, this is you. You identify more with it. You identify with the subtle and gross body. While the Nishkam, you don't. You recognize what the gross and subtle body is and engage it accordingly in Krishna's service. Sakam means you still identify very strongly with it. It's just a change in mentality. So at any stage you can go from one to the other. So one has to practice under the direction of the devotees, like that, in the association of devotees. So we then everything works very nicely.
Now, in Kshatrika, how does book distribution in Kshatrika?
Book distribution is Bhagavad.
Right.
Kshatrika doesn't function unless Bhagavad is being performed. Like that. The Pancharatra, Bhagavad is already built into the Pancharatra. You can't perform deity worship without chanting Hare Krishna, without hearing Bhagavatam, without associating with the devotees, without living in the Dham. You can do it, you can do Ija, You know? The Lord's not very satisfied. Because the Swadhyaya means study. Study and practice of the devotional principles includes, you know, the Shravanam Kirtanam. And if that's not there, the deity is not very satisfied with the performance of the rituals. You know, the whole idea is the deity is coming in this form for the purpose of reawakening our love. And by reawakening in that love, then we develop, then Krishna can, we can relate with Krishna, and that's what makes Krishna happen, that we can relate with him. Now please listen faithfully as I explain exactly how a person who has achieved Christ-born status through the relevant Vedic prescriptions should worship me with devotion. Explanation. The Hari Bhakti Vilas details at length, deals in length with the qualification one needs to achieve twice-born status. A person must receive proper initiation from a bona fide spiritual master and be trained in sadhachar, proper relational behavior, before he may worship the deity. It is the spiritual master's responsibility to train the disciple in all aspects of Krishna consciousness, so he can worship the deity with the proper attitude. For his part, the disciple must sincerely inquire from the spiritual master how to act properly and worship the deity in a way that pleases the Lord. So this is important, that the person must want this, and then by approaching the spiritual master, then one receives the Panchatantric initiation, like that, and receives the holy name. Then everything works.
Is this the first initiation, second initiation?
Second.
Second initiation?
Yeah, because second year qualified to perform Panchatantric activity. But first done what he's talking about here. That's why this is in the supplement. Because Krishna is just dealing with the principles here. So we see the first principle is one should understand that there's many principles and unlimited details. So now these principles are derived from the Vedic and Tantric. And then this also manifests at the Panchatantric. Then the next point he makes is that one must be, he says, one must listen faithfully. One must have faith. And without faith, without Shraddha, then there's no sadhu sangha. Then no bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means taking initiation, following the rules and regulations. Like that. So without faith, nothing happens. Faith is the principle of everything. Nityananda Prabhu is selling the holy name, the price he asks in this deal, in this bargaining, is faith. You have faith, you get the name. No faith, no name. So this faith is very, very important. And so this is the whole point, is here is the Panchatantra, he's going to describe it. So he says, okay, now listen, as I explain how someone who is attained twice born according to the rules and regulations, then is going to perform the worship. And the holy name doesn't say that, just as everybody chant. Api tap jato chilo hari namer udarito tar chaki jagai madhai. Whatever sinful people were there, sinful, disgusting, wretched, or worse, the holy name is delivering them all. Right? the example or the example of this is Jagai Madai. The proof of this is Jagai Madai. So like that, while Pancharatra, we're already starting, we first have to be second initiated. Then we start talking Pancharatra.
To
bring us to that platform.
Yeah.
You know? Because at some point, we always see it's like this. You get to sit down and chant Hare Krishna, you're very enthusiastic at the beginning and just going on whatever service is there you're doing. So you're just basically, though unknowingly, we're following so many rules and that of the Pancharatra. But we're just absorbed in the whole initiative and the main principles of the deity worship. So even though it's sadhana, you know, the Vaidhi sadhana, it's like the upper ends where we're not so worried. But then at one point we start to say, well, you know, what about me? All this, I have this nature and that nature. How do I engage all these things in Krishna service? So then the Pancharatra and the Vedic deal with these aspects. Okay. So we'll end here. No, it's a little dark. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.